How are we doing this morning, Wake? Woo! Come on. Does anybody know what today is? St. Patrick's Day. Hey, turn to your neighbor, see if they're wearing green. If they're not, you can give the lightest of all pinches. Very light, very small. Probably shouldn't have encouraged that. All right. Come back. It is St. Patrick's Day. That is an exciting thing. That was a mistake. I'm sorry. I should have known better than that. All right, guys. Hey, can I get everyone's attention? I do have a question, though. I don't know if anybody in here actually knows anything about St. Patrick's Day, but I would encourage you to go and do some research about St. Patrick himself, because he's actually the man who brought Christianity. Come on, guys. Come back to me. He brought Christianity to Ireland, right? In the early or mid to late 300s, early 400s, St. Patrick brought the gospel to Ireland. And so he's really credited as being, you know, one of the people who shared the gospel with thousands. So as you go through St. Patrick's today and for the rest of your life, it's not all just about leprechauns and clovers. It is about a man who gave his life so that others would know Jesus. So that's really encouraging, but that's actually not what we're going to be talking about this morning. We are going to be talking about giving our lives to Jesus, but not St. Patrick. So this morning we are continuing our series, Head, Heart, and Hands. And last week, Hank started off talking about our head. How do we use our head to steward it for the glory of God in the way that we love God and love others, right? And so I want to start also this morning with another question. And the question I want to ask you is, in the Bible, in Matthew 22 specifically, there's a man who asked Jesus a question. And he said to him, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" Does anybody know what Jesus' response was? "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" He did not say all of them. Oh, it's on there. Well, you can see it, I guess, but not everyone else. We can put the verse up. Jesus responds, right? He says, the greatest commandment. So I'd encourage you to memorize this. But in Matthew 22, verse 36, he says this, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Right, so Jesus sums up the entire Old Testament law saying, hey, we are called to love God and love our neighbor. In Mark, Jesus says it this way. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Right, and so we see this progression that Jesus is saying, hey, you don't just love the Lord with your actions or with your words. We don't just love the Lord with the way that we think about him. And we don't just love the Lord with the things that we hide in our hearts. We love him with all three of those things. And so that is what we're going to be talking about today, is that progression. What does it look like to love the Lord your God and others with your head, your heart, and your hands? And here's the thing. I think all of us often probably think about one or maybe two of those things as we think about our faith. We're like, yeah, hey, I know as a Christian, I'm supposed to do a lot of Christian things, show up to church, small group, read my Bible. I just change my actions. Great. I check the box. Right, I know what it looks like maybe to love the Lord my God with my hands. But do you often think about, or maybe before last week's message, you didn't think about a lot, hey, what does it look like to love God with your mind? The things that you're thinking about daily, what you're reading, what you're behold, like one of Hank's points was to behold God, that he would be continually on your mind. And do you think about the things that you're letting into your heart? Right, are we thinking about all three of those things? And if we just focus on one of them, the picture I'd give you is like a guy who goes to the gym and just only lifts upper body, right? It's kind of a weird picture, but we don't want to be like this guy, right? We can't skip leg day, all right? But I'm telling you that there are some of you in this room, thank you for taking that down, that are only probably thinking about or working out one of those aspects of your faith. And in the same way that only working out your upper body is going to create a pretty disproportionate body, working out only one of these aspects in your faith is going to create a disproportionate faith. That we would put too much emphasis on what we do or what we say or what we think about if we don't have a picture of how to do all three of those things together in the way that we love God and love people. And so my challenge this morning is really you'd ask yourself, hey, which of these areas maybe do I struggle with at times? And we'd be thoughtful about that. And so before we dive in, though, specifically, I want to start this morning with a story. And maybe you've heard this story. I shared it a few years ago at D-Town, but a couple of years ago, there was someone who tried to take something from me. And I helped them do it. And so the story goes like this. A couple of years ago, I got a phone call. And it was from a man named Caleb. So I answered the phone. I'm like, okay, it's just a normal Tuesday. He goes, hey, my name's Caleb. I'm from the Texas Tax Office. Never heard of the Texas Tax Office. But he goes, hey, my badge number is 6421. Sounded all official. Great. Awesome. And so he just tells me, he goes, hey, Jonathan, we've noticed some suspicious activity surrounding your identity. Right? And so I'm just calling you to kind of talk through this with you. We've noticed some shady things going on. Someone is trying to steal your identity. And honestly, I believed him. And so we kind of had a longer conversation. I asked more questions. He kind of had some great answers. And again, he sounded really official. And at one point, he asked me for my social security number. And you may not know what a social security number is, but every one of you in this room has one. There's only one for every single person in the world. You have your own specific and safe, hopefully, social security number. So anyways, I gave him a part of my social security number. I believed him, all right? I thought my identity was in jeopardy. And guys, it went south from there. So I continued to ask questions. I honestly instantly regretted it, but I asked questions of Caleb. I thought this was really fishy. I wanted to talk to one of his bosses, and he just kind of continued to go down this kind of route of going, hey, you know, Jonathan, if I'm being honest, like, I can't get my boss on the phone right now, but I am going to tell you, like, as I'm looking at some of these details, like, your name is on the lease of a car that's in Mexico that's connected to a drug cartel. There's a murder in your, like, he just went on and on and on. And I was like, all right, this is fake. All right, this is not true. I ended up hanging up on Caleb. And the jury's still out. I don't know if he got my identity or if it's out there floating around or if there's a car in Mexico with my name on it, but you can pray for my social security number that's floating around out there. But here's the problem, right? My identity is so, so important. It is connected to every worldly thing that I need to do in this life, get a job, buy a car, a house, credit cards, whatever all the boring adult things you can think of, our identity is connected to them, right? And I should have been incredibly watchful, thoughtful, and protective of my identity. Right, we guard the things and we hold on to the things that we deeply care about. And I should have guarded my identity more closely. And I tell you that story today because we're going to talk about something that is incredibly important and valuable, arguably more valuable than your worldly or earthly identity. Right, this is something that I don't think many of us are watchful, thoughtful, or that we guard against. Right, and I want to make the argument today that this is one of the most important things that God has given you, and if not the most important thing for us to watch closely over and hold closely to. And the reason is because this thing has the power to determine the quality and the direction of your life. It has the power to determine the quality and the direction of your life. And the thing that we're going to talk about this morning is our hearts. And not just in a worldly sense, right? When I say heart, like maybe you think of the thing that's beating inside your chest, but the Bible talks about the heart in a different sense, right? It does talk about the thing that is beating inside of our chest, but when the authors were writing scripture, right, they understood that the heart was the thing that not only keeps us alive, but it's the place where we think, we feel, we make choices, our desires, our morals, all of it flows from our hearts. And so as we talk about the heart, don't just think of a physical heart, but even think of like a spiritual heart, right? Something that encompasses and makes up everything and every part of who you are and the decisions that you make. So there's one verse that we're going to specifically spend our time looking at this morning. We're going to look at a couple different verses, but one that we are going to spend most of our time in. Maybe you've heard it before. It is Proverbs 4:23. It just says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. And so this morning, we're going to talk about what does it mean to guard your heart, why should you guard your heart, and how. do you guard your heart? Those are the three questions we're going to ask. So if you're taking notes, you can write those down. Those three questions, I think, are so, so important. What does it mean to guard your heart? Why should you guard your heart? And how do you guard your heart? So we'll start with that first question. What does it actually mean to guard your heart? All right, so maybe you think when you hear that word guard, the thought that comes into my head first is like a basketball player, right? So we got Paul Pierce here defending some random guy that played on the Miami Heat. Right, when I think of a guard, I think of maybe the picture in your head is like guarding someone in basketball, all right? All right, so you're locking this person down. You're just locking in one-on-one. This person's not getting past me. They're not scoring. I'm following them. Wherever they go, I go. Wherever they look, I look. Maybe that's the picture you get in your head. Or maybe when you hear the word guard, you think of like a castle. Or maybe you think of like a bank, someone who's guarding a bank, right? These guys right here, just some bank guards. They look pretty nice, but I wouldn't want to try to go through that guy on the right and try to get into the bank, right? So again, you think of people who are watchful, they're careful, they're guarded, they're not letting something inside of a building or a place, right? Maybe those are the pictures you get in your mind when you hear that word guard. All right, come back to me. Here's what I tell you. If you're tuned out, tune back in. Those aren't terrible pictures of what it means to guard your heart, right? The simplest answer that I would give you is, what does it mean to guard your heart? It means to be careful what you allow in. To be careful what you allow in. Ephesians 5:15 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, it prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Right? Scripture's clear. It says, be alert, be sober-minded, make the most of every opportunity. Right? Especially with the things that are most valuable to us. Are you alert and watchful and mindful of what you're allowing in your heart? Right? And even the way that I would answer this question, kind of, I'll give you a preview to the next question. What does it mean to guard your heart, right? It means to be really, really careful about what you allow in it, right? To be careful about what you watch, what you stream, the things you play, you listen to, you think about, the things you say, the friends you choose, the things you look at, the way that you spend your time, to be really, really careful about what you consume or allow into your heart. What does it mean to guard your heart? It means to be really, really careful about what you allow in. I can't help but think, especially with March coming up, of like sports analogies, right? And so let's go back to basketball, right? I want you to imagine, even if you don't play basketball, you're in the championship game. There's 30 seconds left on the clock. Your team is up by 1 point. Let's go. You guys did awesome. You're up by 1 point. And you're one-on-one with the other person that is trying to score in those last 30 seconds of the game. If he doesn't score, you win. Right? I want you to picture in your mind, what would it look like for you in that moment to defend that person? Right? I truly believe that you would do everything in your power to lock that person down, right? You'd be careful, you'd be watchful, you'd have people on the sidelines going, "Hey, watch down low, watch your weak hand, I've got down low." Like, people would be all together with you running towards the same goal of not letting that person go and score the basket. Right? In the same way, that same picture is what I'd give you. Right? That you would do everything in your power to be thoughtful about what you allow into your heart. Right? And the question I'd even ask you guys this morning is, have you ever been as thoughtful, careful, and diligent with your heart as you are with your sports, hobbies, activities, passions, or the other things that you care about? Have you ever been that diligent or thoughtful in the same way, that intensity that you would have in that moment with the game on the line? Have you been that thoughtful about my or your heart? All right, so what does it mean to guard your heart? The answer is to be careful what you allow in it. So this leads me to my second question. Why should we guard our heart? If you know what it means to guard your heart, well, then why should we do it? And I want to give you this answer to this question, even with another illustration. And so the picture that I would give you here is, I want you to imagine with me, I handed you an iPhone, right? So I've got a phone here. I hand you this iPhone and I go, hey, here's the objective. I want you to get from Watermark Community Church to Luke Barlow's house on 6550 Shady Brook Lane, Dallas, Texas, right? So I give you this iPhone and I say, hey, can you get to 6550? All right, guys, stay with me, right? But here's the catch. I give you an iPhone, but what if the iPhone that I give you is broken, right? The internal compass or the GPS, it just doesn't work, right? So it never refreshes. Your phone doesn't know which way is east, west, south, or north. Your phone just has no clue where you are and it never really updates. I give you a broken phone. Would you be able to get from here to Luke Barlow's house?
Yes.
The answer is no. Great question. All right, here we go. Stay with me. Stay with me. But what if I gave you a printed out version of this map? Right? I gave you the map. I said, hey, it's a 2-hour and 1-minute walk to Luke Barlow's house. I've got each direction, how far you're going to go, how many steps you'd take. It's a 9-minute drive if you can drive, but none of you guys can, so you're walking. All right, come back to me. We can take down the map. All right, here's the picture again that I'm going to give you guys. In the same way that you would not be able to get to a destination with a broken map or a broken compass, the same is true of our hearts. All right, the same is true of our hearts. And here's why I use that illustration is because your compass is broken. All right, your compass is broken. Jeremiah 17 says this, that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure, who can understand it? Right, because we've chosen sin, the beginning in the garden, Adam and Eve, because they chose sin, it separated us from God, that our heart, it craves the fleshly, the Bible talks about it, says the fleshly desires. Our heart craves all of these things that are apart from God. It craves idols, comforts, control, right? These are the things we try to fill our hearts with naturally because our hearts are broken. The Bible says they are desperately sick and they are beyond cure. And so we have to reorient and reshape our hearts daily because it is a natural pull away from the things of God. We have to spend time with God's Spirit, in God's Word, and with God's people. Because if we just spend all of our time looking down at a broken map and going, man, I'm just going to trust my heart to lead me through these next few days or weeks or months, or this is a hard season at school, so I'm just going to trust my heart. It's going to help me make the right decision in this moment. Should I do this? Yes or no? Should I date this person? Yes or no? Should I play this sport? Yes or no? I'm just going to trust my heart. That's terrible advice because your heart is broken and it is desperately sick. And that is why we have to spend time with God's Spirit, God's Word, and God's people. Right? And so the simple way I would answer this question is, why should we guard our hearts? And it's because your heart will determine the quality and the direction of your life. Why should we guard our hearts? It's because your heart will determine the quality and the direction of your life. Proverbs 4:23 just says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it, right? The college that you're going to attend someday, the person you're going to marry, the car you're going to buy, the job you're going to say yes to, the fill in the blanks, big things and small things, everything we do, the Bible says, above all else, above everything else that you could care about in this world, care about your heart and guard it. Be careful what you allow in it because everything that you do flows from it. Your heart determines the quality and the direction of your life. And so the last question this morning I would give you is how. How then do we guard our hearts? And I want to start by reading this verse in Luke 6:45. It just says, a good man brings good things out of the good that is stored in his heart, and an evil man brings out the evil that is stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And specifically, I want to look at that last sentence there. It says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. This is Jesus speaking here, and he makes a strong connection to say, hey, what goes in is what ultimately comes out, right? What goes in our hearts is what comes out? And the answer to that last question I'd give you is, how do you guard your heart? It is by taking control of what goes in. It's by taking control of what goes in. There's a saying that I've heard before, and I want you to think about it with me for a second. We're going to put it on the screen. What you think about, you care about. What you care about, you chase. And what you chase, you become. Say it one more time. Think about it for a second. What you think about, you care about. What you care about, you chase. And what you chase, you become. Right, and so we slowly reflect and become the things that we feed our hearts. And I want to give you a quick example of this. Maybe this doesn't apply to you, but I know that there are people out here that this is true of them. But even think about, hey, what would it look like in my context for this to play itself out? Right, so let's just take social media for an example here. Right, so you get a phone, you download a social media app, whether it's TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever it is, you follow your friends, you see their highlights, the people that they're talking to, and you start to notice, right? You look at it daily every time you get a notification. My eyes go right to my phone. Let me check Snapchat. Let me check Instagram. Let me see what's new. What are the people doing? Right, and at first it seems pretty harmless and meaningless, but over time you kind of start to care because you're checking it daily. You're like, has anybody reached out to me? Has anybody Snapchatted me? Has anybody liked my post? How many people have liked my post? How many followers does this person have? How many do I have? Man, did someone share with me this funny TikTok or this reel? Like, you just start to think about it often. And slowly over time, you start to care. Right? And so you'd post something, you send a text, a snap, you check your phone because there's a little maybe rush of joy or this feeling that you get. Whenever you see a notification, man, someone cares about me. Someone's thinking about me. Someone wants to connect with me. Right? And so what started off with just this innocent thing that I just looked at daily, I started to think about it a lot. Right? And so I started to care about it a lot. But then really, I started to chase it. And so maybe some of you, it's like, okay, well, now I just need to think about really closely. I want to start chasing that feeling that I get whenever I have a bunch of notifications in my phone. I want to start to chase that feeling I get whenever I have these streaks and I can show other people that I'm talking to these people or that I have this many likes or this many followers. I want to chase after those things. And you know what you ultimately become? You become a person whose identity is founded and rooted in seeking the approval and attention of other people. Right? That's just a small example of what this can look like. Your phone's not necessarily a bad thing, but it can be if you think about it, you care about it, you chase it, and you ultimately become, you root your identity in the things that you give access to your heart on a daily basis. Right? And so you slowly but surely start to give your attention and your care, and you start to crave something and become a person who is insecure and focuses solely on just filling your heart with the things of this world. Right, what you think about, you care about. What you care about, you chase. And what you chase, you become. And again, it may not be social media for you. It might be sports, grades, video games. It might be, again, saying inappropriate things, jokes around other people. Whatever it is, just finding and filling your heart with something. To go, this is the thing that I'm going to allow in and I'm going to think about and meditate on. And so I even want to just stop for a second. I want to list off a few things that you may be asleep to, right? That you may be filling up in your heart unknowingly, right? And so I just want you to even stop. As I read out this list, I want you to think about, man, do any of these apply to me? Am I being thoughtful and watchful about what I allow in my heart, right? What are you watching, right? Is it YouTube videos, movies, TV shows? What's the language like? Are they appropriate? Do they slowly cause you to be looser with your language or tempt you into other things, right? Maybe it's how much time you spend on your phone or what you do with your phone or the things on your phone or the access that you have. Is that unhelpful to your heart or to the way that you connect with other people, right? What video games are you playing? Who are you talking with when you play those video games? And how are you talking when you are playing those video games? Right? What does your social media look like? The conversations, are you seeking to have attention? Or are you posting things or sending things because, man, you want to be thought highly of or you want more of the attention from other people? Right? What do your closest friendships look like? Are they filled with gossip or inappropriate jokes? the people who are closest to you, you are being shaped by them every single day. What do your text messages look like? Would you be comfortable with someone just rolling through all of your texts or your Snapchats or all of the DMs that you have? Would you be comfortable with that? Is that a place where things are happening that are appropriate or thoughtful or honoring to God? Right? Are you being careful and watchful about what goes into your heart? Because the way in which we guard our hearts is by controlling what goes in it. And so there are things that you might have to go, man, these aren't necessarily bad things, but I need to say no to that right now. Man, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe everyone else in my grade or around me has a phone or has Snapchat or has all these other things, but maybe I need to say no to it because it is doing something in my heart because I think about it, I care about it too much, and I'm ultimately becoming a person whose life is rooted and grounded in something other than Jesus. How do you guard your heart? You guard it by taking control of what goes in it. I've heard it said that if you feed your heart with more of what it asks for, then you will feed it less of what it needs. If you feed your heart what it asks for, you will feed it less of what it desperately needs. And so what does your heart need? I think that begs the question. And I'd end in the message here in John 14:27, Jesus says this. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And it's not cliche, it's not just the church answer, it's not just the right thing to say, but what your heart needs more of is the only thing that God can offer that the world can't, and that is eternal, lasting joy and peace. That's what our hearts need more of. And so next week, we're even going to talk about our hands. What does it look like to reflect and love God with our hands and our actions? But what are we allowing in our hearts? And are we stewarding our lives with more disciplines that cultivate us in us a relationship with God, drawing near to him, or is it more towards brokenness and the things of this world? And so here in a second, I'm going to give you a chance. We're just going to pray. And here's the thing. I'm going to give you the headline that I'd ask you to sit quietly and to pray for 1 minute. And the thing that I'd ask you to pray is to pray and say, God, would you give me the courage to remove anything that takes me away from you? God, would you give me the courage to remove anything that takes me away from you? Even if other people would think differently about me, even if everybody else is doing the thing that I want to do, even if I feel like it would cost me so much, God, would you give me the courage to remove the things that take me away from you? And so quickly to summarize again, what does it mean to guard your heart? To be careful what you allow in, right? Why should we guard our hearts? Because your heart will determine the quality and the direction of your life. And how do you guard your heart? By taking control of what goes in it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray and thank you that you've given us our hearts. That naturally our hearts desire the things of the flesh, of this world, but that because of your Son, you've given us new life, new hearts, new desires. Would you remind us of those things? Would you help us walk in those daily, Lord? I pray that every student in this room would be thoughtful about what they are allowing into their hearts. Lord, I pray that every student in this room would genuinely pray the prayer, and they would have the boldness to say it's far worth it, and it is better to follow you, to be in relationship with you, to pursue the things of you than it is of the world. So now I just want to even give you just 30 seconds. You would pray in your heart and you ask the Lord, what is he revealing to you this morning? What is he asking you to potentially remove from your life to get more of him? Lord, thank you for that truth. Thank you for the truth that everything that we do flows from our heart and that we see that, that's been revealed to us. Thank you that we're mindful of it. I pray that that would be continually true for all of us. Thank you for your Son. The fact that he is the only thing that gives us peace, joy, and hope in this world. I pray that students in this room and my heart would be marked by that, not only this week, but for the rest of our lives. Pray all these things in your name. Amen. Happy St. Patrick's Day.